With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock.
A camel turnover.
And equally, we've both got our dads to blame. Our Tottenham dads to blame for giving us shit names. So yeah, if you're listening, and Dad, I know you're listening. Thanks.
Yours is Ricky. Yours is Ricky, and mine's Gary. I missed out all of that. I didn't hit record, but I've got it now. I've got it now. We missed it. We were basically both complaining that our parents could have done a lot better than Gary and Ricky when naming
us. Yeah.
On you lot. That's on you, dads. And my mum should have been stronger. Why didn't you say no? Gary's a fucking awful name.
Like, my mum wanted to call me Elliot.
Elliot's a lovely name. Elliot is a lovely name.
Anything
in the world. Like, I swear to God, like, if you're a parent in this modern age and you're still calling your kids Ricky, Gary, Ian, Darren, that's all I got. Any of those?
My top one is Ian. Yeah. Of just sitting looking down at a little baby.
And the
smell of a newborn baby, soft skin, the little soft spot on its head. Ian.
Looks
like an Ian.
He doesn't look like an Ian. He just looks like
not
a baby.
It.
And you've made
not
his life it. Insurmountably worse than it would have been.
But kind of good, giving him three letters to spell his name on everything, which is nice. That's nice.
Like, you could be the fittest bloke on earth trying to pull an absolute worldie of any sex you're interested in. And then as soon as you say your name's Ian, it's all done. I don't believe there is an Ian out there that's ever had sex. This is a... we did this a couple of weeks ago. We did a sort of fighting cock question and answer. So, like, sometimes when we don't play in a week... We just think, oh, it'd be nice to record another podcast the latter part of the week. People might enjoy it. And it's sort of free from format. So we don't have to talk about Spurs result or performance. And we basically just go through a list of questions. And I don't know what they are. I kind of know what they are because I've copied and pasted them into a document. But other than that, there's no structure. So there won't be any structure to this podcast. And what we will talk about will depend on the questions that have been sent in. So we posted on Reddit and Twitter for questions, and you haven't let us down.
Kind of feels like Tottenham's performances with Conte's automations. I'm doing air quotes, you know, it's automations because sometimes it doesn't feel like there is structure, but there are automations. Well,
too much structure.
maybe.
There isn't too much structure, but there are automations. Too much structure, I think. There's not enough. Like Conte's football feels like 20 minutes missionary. There's nothing exciting about it. Like, I want a butt plug pulled out.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, of me.
Have you?
That's the kind of football I want to see.
Wow. Just a surprising football.
You just don't know what's gonna happen. You're like, you're having sex and then suddenly a butt plug. You're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then she goes, that's for you. And I'm like, whoa. Like, I've got to compute what's going on in the moment. And that's
What would be comparison football wise? Like if Royale had a 40-yard screamer, 40-yard shot, just go for it, mate. Yeah,
100% that. Having a butt plug pulled out on you mid sex is the same as watching Emerson Royale score a 40-yard screamer against Leeds.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Total surprise. Total surprise, but equal amounts of enjoyment. So.
Yeah, Ricky, can I ask you something?
Go.
Would you like to see Emerson Royale score a screamer from 40 yards in a football match? Very rare.
Yeah, I'd love it. Like, what's his face? Oh, shit, the one against Liverpool, left back.
Eric Edmund.
Edmund, yeah. That, one of those. Master Blaster.
Yeah. That was a Thunder Bastard. I can't remember who he was. He used to say that. I can't remember his name. That's the equivalent of a dildo coming out. Yeah, that you didn't expect.
100%.
Yeah. I think it's around the anniversary of the Tottenham-Seville game where the loads happened in that tie. We ended up going out. It's Wander Ramos's Sevilla against Martin Yole's Tottenham Hotspur. And we went out on two legs in the Europa League. Or it might be the UEFA Cup then, I can't remember. But in the first game, we went to it, didn't we? We went to...
I think it was more April, but the was Prague it? Prague was Feb.
I don't know why I'm bringing this
actually,
up.
Actually, no. Yeah, you do. You're right. What am I thinking of? Actually, I forgot to send you. I took a screen grab on Facebook that was posted like 13 years ago or something like that of the... You know the photo when I say it, the photo in Prague, the worst ever photo.
Me and you looking like a pair of gorms.
I was going to send it to you. I forgot. It's fucking ace. But
I remember. So this picture, we could post this. We could post this on Twitter.
Were you no, fuck no. We are not posting that.
It was a picture, and we looked like such a pair of bellends. And you put it up on Facebook, and I was so angry at you. Look at the state.
Why so angry, and you want to fucking tweet it out to 75,000 people.
Yeah, but it was a long time ago now.
Yeah, and it's funny as well, so.
Send me the picture, we'll tweet it.
All right.
Like a little pair of creatures we were. Anyway, the Seville game, do you remember, we were up in the gods, and the severity of... Basically, you can't have limbs... In the away end, or we was on the other side of the away end, but the top tier of the Sevilla stadium, because you're going over. And Robbie Keane scored in the first minute, and I got pushed over. Do you remember, Rick? I would say like 100 Spurs fans just falling down this stand, and Ricky came back. Like I've mentioned this a couple of times on the pod before, but just marching down towards me. To save me, as I was on my feet, were pointing up the stadium, and Ricky was there to save me, and it just made me think about it because I haven't thought about that for a while. It was
there was a rubble of humans, and I just saw this hand come out from underneath it, and I just grabbed it and wrenched him out.
Yeah, and I was just in bits for the rest of the game. The terrible. That ended up on. It was during a festival in Sevilla. Called the Semana Santa, and there were loads of people dressed up as what looked like variations of Ku Klux Klan outfits. It's not that, it's the Moors, and there's various different religious groups or variations of. I don't know what it's about, to be honest.
But it is kind of like white tents.
They do look like
head.
The
eyes cut out. Yeah,
I'm probably being offensive to the Moors here, right? But the best way for me to articulate it so that people at home can visualize, imagine 500,000 people walking around in Ku Klux Klan costumes, but are not necessarily white. There were purple, black, there's all kinds.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was this festival, and because of this festival, there was nowhere for us to sleep on this Tottenham away day. And I had managed to find one of only two, one room in the whole of the fucking city. And there were two beds in this room. How many people slept in that room, Rick? You don't actually know, actually. You was with your dad, did you?
Yeah, we slept in a car.
You slept in a car?
Yeah.
With your dad, how was that?
Yeah. It was horrible. We had to go to the coach station, a public coach station, to brush our teeth and wash our face in the morning.
This is what happens to Spurs away. Spurs away. We've got a question after this, from username also in use. Why do I hate Tottenham? Because you don't hate Tottenham. You don't hate Tottenham, and we don't hate Tottenham. No matter what they put us through, we would always be willing to be in a tiny little car with our dad and drive to a washroom like a pair of fucking hobos, brush our teeth in this horrible, grotty little, you know, piss hole. Because Spurs.
Yeah, and like the thing is, it's I do understand that. Why do I hate Tottenham?
Yeah, I hate them.
And I get I do. I do hate them a lot of the time, really. But maybe hate is lost in frustration and anger and disappointment, and maybe it isn't quite hate, but you do some really strange things, like sleep in a car with your dad.
Just do it, because the alternative is not going, and that's unbearable.
Yeah.
You know, on that night, there was... So I'd paid for this room on my credit card. Two people, me and my dad, were supposed to be staying in this room. There were 11 men in this two-bedroom room in this hotel. There was my brother Joe, who slept in the cupboard. But literally, for him, that was the best place he could sleep. That wasn't like, we sleep in a cupboard, it's funny. That was the only place he could get his head down. I had my dad and the six mates in a two double beds, two single beds, and me, who had paid for and booked this room, on the fucking floor with my mate El, our mate Els, who is one of the biggest, he's bigger than John Bass, sitting next to him, just cuddling up to his massive thigh. Yeah, man, it was good. But it was, Spurs, we lost, we return, it's all good. And we got fucking truncheoned by police. But let's get into the questions anyway, Rick.
Let's go.
Jackson Harefield, he says, roll over for Leeds on the last match day of the season if it means West Ham going down. Do you really care enough about West Ham to throw a game against Leeds?
That is what I was thinking. Well, what I was thinking was, if it's the choice of us getting Champions League and them going down, I want Champions League.
Yeah.
If it's a choice out of us doing something better than them going down, I want it to be for us. But if you flipped that and said it's a choice between Champions League and Arsenal getting relegated, I'd say fuck Champions League.
100%. Let's relegate them. 100%. I get where you're coming from, Jackson, but this is only an appropriate question if you put Arsenal in there, because I don't think there's any Spurs fan out there, unless you're entrenched in sort of West Ham territory and you sort of pick up and be a reactive to how much they hate us. It's not a question. Like, I don't give a shit.
Do you know what? I think it's a good question, because it just kind of... It just shows you the gauge on how much we hate West Ham, which is not really a lot, to be honest.
Well, I hate them. I want them to feel pain.
Yeah.
But I don't really give a shit. I don't care. Like, then it feels like they'll never be on our level. So let's not worry about it. Let's certainly not throw a game against Leeds that we might need to qualify for the Champions League for it. Actually, if you said it was like we qualify for the Champions League and it was like a nothing game, a dead rubber... In that instance, if we had nothing, if it was just 3 points, and it would mean that Leeds get West Ham get relegated, in that case, I would probably go, it would be funny to see West Ham get relegated. I won't remember.
Oh, for sure.
I won't remember this 3 points against Leeds, but I will remember West Ham getting relegated.
Yeah,
so maybe that. Janice Costa Rasmussen.
That's good.
Yep. Dr. Tottenham to Chelsea's rescue is a foregone conclusion. Agree. Rick, there's no bit of you that thinks that we're going to go to Chelsea, going to come to Tottenham at the weekend and we're going to roll them over, is there?
No.
Just doesn't work.
No.
Just doesn't work.
So this goes back to this, the first question of why I hate Tottenham, why do I hate Tottenham? And it is this whole Dr. Tottenham that we won our last game, Chelsea, in a horrible run of form. They just lost at home to Southampton. This is the best possible time to play them at the moment.
Ever.
Their manager is fucking in ruins. They've got all these new players. They're not gelling. That, you know, it's just an absolute mess. So this is the best time to play them. But equally, you also know that this is the time where they have no recognised striker, that Felix will score a hat-trick and will just implode.
And the thing is you might be listening to this thinking they're being pessimistic. They're being, you know, come on, you've got to believe in this. You've got to be positive. This is a small club mentality. If you're thinking that, you haven't lived through what we've lived through. We know, because experience tells us everything.
Exactly. We're only sharing our opinions and thoughts through years and years of experience.
Yeah. Sorry. So when you go to, like, you know, when you're at university and a professor tells you something based on all of his years and years and years of experience, don't look at him going, well, I don't know why I paid for this fucking degree, because I don't agree with what they're saying. We're telling you this is what a way it is. Like, there's a reason why, and I hate to say it, there's a reason why things like Spursy and Dr. Tottenham exist. They're not just made up on the spot. They become something that means something to a lot of people because evidence is there to back it up.
Yeah,
it's a mad thing that a team, just because they're called Chelsea and they have a blue kit, and that no matter how much changes, the same result plays out over and over again.
Do you think that psychologically, because they have a lion in their emblem, that it scares our players?
This is the ridiculous thing. There's absolutely no reason why that should be the case.
No, I don't know. Why is it that we could even be like 2-0 up against them, or even 3, let's just say 3, and they get that goal, and the top teams would be like, they've got a goal back, they're still a 2-goal cushion. We would probably lose our shit and get it back to 3-0 or something. The psychology that happens, and how do you stop that?
It's an intangible that can't be circumnavigated or dealt with, because there's no real reason why it should happen. How is Conte going to go into this game, or in this case, Stellini? Or the better example is Pochettino, right? We were never really going to win that league against Leicester, but that game against Chelsea, where they stopped us mathematically from winning the league, was case in point. Chelsea were like eighth in that season. They were poor. Team was slowly crumbling. They had to do a lot of work. We went there, went 2-0 up. By the end of it, not only had we conceded 2 goals, but we should have had 4 people sent off. That is something that doesn't happen to any other club that we play against.
Like, fuck, we were 2-0 up as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're 2-0 up at half time.
Klattenberg
said afterwards, said, he said that, I can't remember the exact words, it's quite controversial actually, but he said that I know that I should have sent these players off, but I didn't want Tottenham's title challenge my name to be sort of linked with it. I can't remember what he said, but it was almost like he chose not to send them off because he knew Tottenham would implode in this game anyway. I don't know, it was something along those lines. Anyway, I get it, Janice. It's a difficult one because it is Chelsea, but maybe we need to just forget about all the shit that, if we win, it's massive.
I'm more confident. I'm the most confident I've been going into a game against Chelsea for ages. And you say, Rick, why are you so confident? Because Chelsea are in disarray and we've just won our last game. And not that we looked amazing, but we had a controlled, measured performance. And maybe Son getting a goal might perk him up a bit. And Romero having a masterclass game, Royale playing incredibly well again. Maybe that little touch of Davies as a left wing back, maybe that's helped. Maybe that's helped steady the ship at the back. I don't know. But I think we can get a result, tentatively saying we can get a result against Chelsea this weekend, definitely.
Yeah, we can. But
we won't.
Sifter says, does a 3-5-2 with Porro, Perisic at wing-back, Saar, Skip and Højbjerg in the middle, and Richarlison, Kane up top make sense, or am I mad? So the issue, this is going back to the 3-5-2, when we thought that the 3-4-3 wasn't working for us, a lot of us, and myself included, was banging on about this 3-5-2 formation. The problem with that, I think, is there's a lack of creativity in the midfield. Sarr and Skip, you expect, you're losing the third attacker and you're putting him in midfield and then relying on the wing-backs who should be attacking anyway in a 3-4-3 to do all the work that's missing from that creative player in midfield. If we had Maddison as one of those three, or even Bentancur, but especially someone like Maddison, then I'd say, yeah, 3-5-2 could definitely work at Spurs. But I think, weirdly, having Porro and Perisic as wing-backs who are really attacking, 3-5-2 is like quite a defensive position to hold. And without a really good attacking midfielder, I probably won't work. Against a really big team, we can try and counter them, maybe. But generally in the Premier League, I think we're better off going with a 3-4-3. I've changed my position completely that from the start of the season.
Yeah, I kind of agree. If we are going to two up top, then like Kulusevski, where would he fit in?
He wouldn't play.
Exactly. And I think when you've got him on Song, he is unplayable. And he, as much as he picks up the ball, he's so direct, he's run, he wants to take players on. With that, if he's not on the ball and he's running into space, he's going to take defenders out with him. So he just creates that. He creates a space for Kane or Son or whoever to run into by pulling defenders out of position. And also he can attack. So I think he's just that I think he's too important for him to drop. And with Son playing the way that he is at the moment, it would just feel like we've just got Kane up front, really, instead of Son and Kane. So
the same with Charles and Kane.
Oh, Richarlison. Drop Sonny as well. So Richie as well. Yeah, maybe. But I'm just if I'm picking between Richie and Kulusevski, I'm going with Kulu.
Fair enough. I'm sure they thought about it. I'm sure they have. It's crossed their mind, the coaching staff at Spurs. Maybe this is
maybe just imagine they haven't. And Stellini was sitting there and he was like, Antonio, oh fucking hell, I've just forgot. Hang on a second, it's coming back. No, carry on. And that's Stellini was about to say that and he just had a mind fart.
Yeah. We've got a question here from Reddit. I don't know what the username is. It's not even a word. It's just a collection of letters and numbers. Do you think there's really such a thing as a club DNA? Thinking about it, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick, the dummy, the volley and all that. Feels like the managers like Conte and Mourinho want to coach this out of us as it's been holding us back from winning a trophy. So we may come fourth, but now we're mainly playing boring football, systematic football that just isn't enjoyable to watch. It might work for a team like Chelsea, but to me it feels very un-Spurs. Is there anything to this? I think there is something to it. I don't think that Conte and Mourinho have come in to intentionally coach out this sort of mercurial style that Spurs have had, where they're as good as they are bad. I just think that they both had extreme massive amounts of success playing the way they play, and the football is a little bit more pragmatic and sensible than what we're used to previously with players like Ginola, where, you know, as amazing as he was and as that we will remember him much more than the functional members of the same squad that he belonged to. But he made us get off our seats, and he was, in terms of like a player who actually lends himself to a system and a player who actually sort of becomes imprinted in your heart, he's like a perfect example. He was amazing. And every time he got the ball, you thought something exciting was going to happen. Did he benefit the team overall? Over a prolonged period? Probably not. I mean, with George Graham reluctantly putting him into the team at that time. But we remember him as like a proper Tottenham player because he did things that other players couldn't do. Do you know what I mean, Rick?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, completely. It's just the way that I feel that... I mean, someone that is more kind of entrenched in the data side of football would be able to kind of back up these types of theories. But if you have a player that is... as you say, that like a Ginola who will take a shot at 25, 30 yards statistically, that is going to go back to their keeper's going to save it and it's going to go to the defenders and they will be able to build out and then you've lost possession and all these other things happen. So let's not take shots from that side, from that far out, because we are going to give up the ball, we're going to give up possession. Let's build up and we can only attack from this third of the pitch. So those types of players, their creativity, what they bring, and that kind of sudden spark is snuffed out because of the way that you want to play. Equally, my my old PE teacher told me this at school, and it was the ball, you can't outrun the ball can travel faster than you, so don't dribble the whole pitch with the ball at your feet, pass it quickly, get it up the field. So if you've got someone like Ndombele who holds the ball, who wants to take players on, Conte, he wants to transition quickly. He wants that ball to move forward quickly and catch people out of position. So those kind of creative players that play with a bit more...
freedom.
Just a bit more free, yeah. That it's kind of taken away from them because we are... They're trying to play to strengths. They're trying to play to... these kind of stats where if you lose the ball in these positions or whatever it might be. So while I think the for the question of is that Tottenham, the you know, the tricks, the flicks and all that lot, no, it's not Tottenham.
It was once.
Yeah, it was. It was, but...
Do you think it's important that we get it back?
Football's changed. Again, this is what I was about to say. For your enjoyment, collectively, as a fan base... What do we want? Do we want trophies or do we want entertaining football? And a lot of people say, well, you can have both. We have tried the entertaining football and we've fallen short. We have tried
and
the Mourinho, the Conte, the Nuno.
What have we done?
And we've not won that either.
It's better to have the other thing though, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Pochettino, the style of football, I say this on every pod and I get bored of myself and you're probably bored listening to it, but I'm going to say it because I have the fucking mic. But it was so amazing to watch. And it was just thrilling. And it was just the attack, the defence, pressing, everything. It was like an orchestra that everyone knew what was going on and when to do these trigger points, when to run forward, when to press and when to do this and that. And you can just watch it play out. And it was something to behold. But ultimately, we fell short. So we're trying to go for...
But we got closer than we did while playing that kind of football. So maybe we can have both. I remember, Ricky, when you were talking then about, you know, just everyone sort of... Just the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle just falling into place. There was a game against, it wasn't some, you know, it wasn't a giant of Europe, but Steve Bruce's Aston Villa.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, you have heat maps of where everyone is and all average positions on the pitch. And Rose and Walker were our most attacking players on an average. And this is a team that included Kane and Son. And those two on the wing were our most attacking players. And that was because Villa were so scared of what Tottenham could do to them that they would just shut up shop, six at the back, which would give so much freedom to our attacking wingbacks and that or fullbacks actually, as they were both pretty much. That kind of fear has gone I want people to fear us again. And I don't know if we'll ever get that back. Certainly not with Daniel Levy at the helm anyway. But... I think. Okay, I've got a question here from Nicholas Nerwin. It says, Spence struggling at Rennes. Porro on the bench. Doherty shipped off to Spain. Surely the stars are aligning for Emerson Royal redemption arc. Dragging him to a club player of the year award. Yeah. It's mad how things have turned for him. And it's based on his abilities and the things that he's done on the pitch. We're not just loving him because it's funny. It's similar to Sissoko in that he's starting to deliver and consistently deliver against good teams. Were we all wrong, Ricky, about Emerson Royal?
No, I don't think we were wrong, but I think
it takes be proved time. Right.
Yeah, well, I think it's that...
What, that he's shit?
No. He was shit and he's turned good. For me, it coming to a different country, different culture, different management, players, how quick the football is in the Premier League, how aggressive it is. It all takes time, but we forget because we're so caught up in results and how we concede X, Y, Z goal. And of course, that's going to happen. But then as the season's progressed, he's kind of sussed out what he needs to do, what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are, what he needs to improve on. And I'm not saying that he is the finished article and that he should start ahead of Porro or that we've wasted money on Porro or anything like that. But he does deserve his props because this has been like maybe 5 or 6 games now where I've come away and I'm just like, he's had another great game. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that he's going to play again and he's going to have a shocker, no-look pass and fucking pass it out. But it's good to see people digging deep and trying. And he's come through a lot of adversity and he's coming out the other side. And he's looking good for it. And he's always remained in good spirits about it.
Do you reckon Emerson Royal no-look comes when he's in bed?
He's like
just turns away, looks at the ceiling,
just looking at the alarm clock, and his wife's just like, "What's he looking at the alarm clock?" Whack right in the face. Fucking hell, Emerson! Wasn't funny the first time.
No look spaff. Imagine him just like he's into it, having a loving sort of love making session, and just as he's about to reach climax, just a little glance to the left, and then it goes. We've got a question here from Cam. It says, Porro or Emerson, Skip or Sarr?
I don't know what I'm answering there. Either or, like.
Yeah, if you have to choose against Chelsea, is it Porro versus or Emerson?
Oh, okay. I'm gonna stick with Emerson, definitely.
Yep.
And with Skip and Sarr, because Højbjerg will be he's not banned and he'll be playing, and so I think Højbjerg. Well, it would be Skip, that one that plays kind of a little bit further forward.
So
I'd go with Skip. Skip.
Skip was really good against West Ham. I thought he did. He looked like his old self. And Sarr, as much as I love him, I really, really enjoy. I don't know what his ceiling is. I have no idea. He does look like quite slight, slender built. It looks like he needs to put on some muscle and some pounds. But as we said in the previous podcast, he looks like he's enjoying being at Spurs. He loves the fact that he's playing for us. And someone who comes onto the pitch or starts with such positive energy is only a good thing. You know, you look at some of the players over the past that you just feel like they don't even want to be there, you know, and they behave and don't treat the shirt with the respect it deserves. Sarr feels like he's like won a competition to be here. That's what it feels like. And he's good enough to play in this game. But in this instance, I feel like Skip's just a little bit further along than, or maybe significantly further along than Sarr. We don't know until we see him, you know, playing sustained football. But to have him as our fifth choice centre midfielder, and for him to be as good as he is, or appears to be, then it's no issue. But yeah, I agree, Skip to start. And Skip, Porro, we don't know enough about yet.
Skip, the game against West Ham, like the challenges he was putting in, man weren't pulling out of anything. Absolutely,
we were
nothing.
Really aggressive in that game.
Yeah, there was a tackle. I think it was with what is his name, Suchek, West Ham.
Yeah,
and there's like a loose ball and a 50-50. And you know when you hear both feet clatter the ball, and it kind of echoes around the stadium. It's like, oh fuck me. But he didn't pull out at all. He was just straight in there.
It's like me with your mum.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, well, you said it. Forster Hive, he says, would you name your next child after Harry Kane if we win the Champions League this season? Yes. Even if it was a girl, it should be called Harry Kane.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, totally.
Like, if you're asking me, will you name your next child Harry Kane if we win the Champions League? Yes. If you're just asking, will we name him Harry Kane if we just win the champ? Like, you know, if we could name him anything if we win the Champions League, then obviously no, because it's a fucking stupid name to name your female child. If we were funny, imagine your sister misses. I'm going to name her Harry Kane. Not Harriet Kane, Harry. So it could work, actually, because there are, you know, if your girl's name's Harriet, then they do get called Harry. So it could work.
A mate of mine, he is a gooner, and he has three cats, and they're all called Ian Wright. That's a true story.
I rate that.
Yeah, yeah. You met him at my birthday, Jonesy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He gives some stick. I rate that.
Yeah.
I like giving pets unsuspecting names, like Ian, for example, or exactly. David. A cat called David. Or Dave. We've got a question here from 30%. I'm pretty sure that might be Joss. I might be wrong. Because he said, I asked the question and see if he can guess who it is. It might be him. 30%. Does your audience drop when Spurs are doing badly? I ask because I don't listen when we're getting thumped. The last thing I'd want to do if Spurs were getting thumped is listen to this podcast or any podcast. Like, do you absorb media when Spurs lose?
I try to keep
listen to
my
other podcasts.
No, not really. I would listen to there are four podcasts Tottenham pods that I always listen to, which is obviously ours when I'm not on. Rule the Roost, The Extra Inch, and View from the Lane.
Yeah.
So I listen to those religiously, but when we lose, I kind of just don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear the dissecting and the talking about us getting mash up by Leicester.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, do you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't want to relive it. I just want to get to the next game and just to get this feeling away from me.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, I understand, like, completely why someone wouldn't want to listen to this podcast after we lose. I wouldn't listen to it. But there are a lot of people out there that go, they find a sort of element of catharsis?
Yeah.
In talking it through and hearing other people talk about it. And I reckon a lot of that is down to, it's especially down to, if you don't have Spurs mates that are close to you, that you watch the game with, that you have a drink with, and you can talk about the game, and if something's bad, then, you know, you kind of find a way of reconciling it in your brain, even if you can't agree that, or accept that Spurs, or you're forced to accept that Spurs have been awful in that game, then a podcast might help you get to that position. But I don't know. There are people out there that sort of get something from it, from that respect. And me and you, I've talked about this a couple of times, but when Bayern Munich beat us 7-2, Like, as grim as that was, I really enjoyed watching it with you.
Yeah, it's like a bit like gallows humour.
Yeah. What else can we do here other than
and
we're not gonna sit there going, this is shit. Yeah, Ricky, it's shit. Fucking what bit did you hate the most? Oh, I hate this bit the most. And I'm gonna let you know how much I hated this bit. That was never gonna be the conversation because that's not who we are. So it's almost like, oh God, another one's gone in. Why is it every time they hit the ball, they shoot the ball from anywhere on the pitch, it flies in the net?
We want seven. We got seven. Brilliant. Brilliant.
The reality, though, is that when we were on our own, then we started to contemplate the severity of what we just witnessed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was us getting absolutely shellacked.
Yeah. I think as well, because on this pod, we have a laugh, don't we? We have a laugh. Mm. So when people are feeling down and we are talking about Tottenham and it is quite cathartic, and then we are injecting a bit of humour to it, it just makes you feel a little bit lighter, doesn't it?
What can you do? Like, certainly as a fan, you're so passive in what you can do. You just got to get on with it, Rick. You know, what can you make a joke and laugh about? Can you make it light, or do you just sit in your own misery? It's not no way to live. You can't control about this. I've said this so many times, but as Spurs fans especially, but fans across football, that you allow something that you can't control to control you absolutely. It's mental. But to answer your question, does the audience drop when Spurs are doing badly? Massively. Like, significantly. I would say it drops by about 30-40%. Yeah.
So if you're listening and we lose, just fucking download it, mate. Don't do that to us.
You don't even have to play it.
Just
play it and walk away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's fine. Like, fortunately, we've arrived at a position where we don't have to... It doesn't matter what Spurs are doing. We've built up enough of an audience that people will listen anyway. But when Spurs are flying, things are fucking fantastic. Like, it's like you can just see it. You can see how happy the fan base is. The biggest one was when we beat Manchester United 3-0 at White Hart Lane. The Lamella! at the time, we were doing good numbers. But that game... It was almost like 10,000 people on top had decided to listen, and that was unreal. Like that spike around that period when we were in our pomp, it was fantastic. But what is interesting is that this season, even under Conte, there is optimism about what's happening at Tottenham at the moment. It might fade given the way ownership is changing in football generally, but there were large parts of the last year where. Based on our listenership, Spurs fans have never been happier since the mid part of Pochettino's reign. But yeah, it does drop. Zeus with another belter.
Lovely.
I think people are more interested in what Zeus says or what Zeus responds to our questions than they are the actual fucking podcast. But Zeus says, you're having a lovely day at the zoo with Son when suddenly he falls into the alligator's pit. With no help near or rocks to throw at them, your only hope is to shoot your man venom at them. Can you make the shot? Why would jizzing at alligators in any way save Heung-min Son from being eaten by them?
Misdirection. It's seen something, like, visually.
Yeah.
And it's thought, oh, like, what's that over there? I might go and have a look.
Or do you reckon it's this, Rick? Is it that they're ready to eat Heung-min Son, but then they go, oh, what's that? Is that cum? Well, I'm not really in the mood anymore. Lost my appetite. That bloke up there just flung his cum at me.
I love alligators. I love crocodiles and alligators. Salt like great salt white shark.
Yeah.
Saltwater crocodiles.
Right, okay, Rick.
That's my order.
Rank your top five animals.
Okay, right. So great white shark.
Same.
Saltwater crocodile. Then I'll go alligator.
Yeah.
And then I will go. I have a little thing for honey badgers.
Oh, mate, we ought to say that, Richard. This is exactly my list.
And then last one, I like it because of the name, which is a Brazilian wandering spider.
Yep.
But their venom is so bad that it causes males to have erections for hours on end. I mean, and they're very aggressive. So it's a fun one at the end.
It's win-win.
Yeah.
So you get bit by an African wandering spider and it gives you an erection. It's like Viagra from the...
Brazilian wandering spider, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
I think you do die after it as well, though, but it's worth it for the 4 hours of absolute rock-hard erection.
Just get me a woman or a man. Just any orifice.
All of them.
Can I make the shot? No, the older I got, the more of it becomes like a little less... Like, it's Alex from Bristol thinks that he can hit the headboard when he's knocking one out on a bed. When he's on the bed and he's knocking one out, he thinks he can jizz past his own head and hit the headboard. He said this previously, and he's really proud about it, positive about it.
Well, I would be, but I'm 40 years old now, so just a grey smoke comes out, a grey ghost ghoul comes out, and that's it.
that's the sound your cock makes when you come. The North remembers. His question is, aside from Kane and Son, which Spurs player would you be happiest having your daughter bring home?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Who'd make you the least happy? Who'd you be happiest with?
Happiest? I'd probably go with Eric Dyer because when he was on that high performance pod, he came across quite well.
Yeah, he did.
Studying and doing business. And he's got his own little app as well. He's a bit of a businessman. I think he would look after my daughter.
Also, you'd have Eric Dyer's DNA in your bloodline. Like, he would produce some strong kids.
Yeah, kids with massive heads, but strong kids nonetheless. He's a bilingual as well. Like, he speaks Portuguese and like...
He's resilient. He's resilient. Like, he's gone... Yeah. He's gone. If you listen to the High Performance podcast, if Jake Humphrey's podcast with Eric Dyer, any Spurs fan go and listen to that, and you'll have a different perception or idea about Eric Dyer after it. Like, it won't make you think he's a better defender, but it will make you think better of him. When he was talking about his brother in the crowd and him marching up the stats.
Yeah.
I had my cock out. it was wicked. It was like, it was super, like, just listen to it. It's fantastic. To get that much insight into a player playing for Spurs currently it's unheard of. Yeah, it was wicked. I would say Emerson Royale because he is Teflon. It doesn't matter what people say about him. He's confident in his ability and he will perform and do his best regardless of how difficult life becomes for him. So I'm going to say Emerson Royale to take out my daughter.
You realise that about half hour ago you said Emerson does the no-look jizz. So that's also what you're taking home as well.
That's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with him looking away when he climaxes. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no problem with that. Like, it'd be different if he went, oh, he donkey punches her do you know what I mean? That would be an issue.
Yeah, that's just nice. This is a laugh.
This is just like, this is funny, isn't it? Because I do this on the football pitch, now I'm doing it in the bedroom.
Yeah.
I've got a question here from Lester Corpse. Maybe that was Joss. I don't know. Question specifically for Flav. How much is cut out of the overlap? Are there more respectful, interesting questions about Spurs that don't make the cut? Or is it all about baiting you and the AFTV people? Pippa just constantly trying to dunk on you, even when you've been relatively respectful about them, drives me nuts. I've got a lot of these comments. So the overlap, if you don't know, is a YouTube show that Gary Neville sort of fronts up, and they need fans from different football clubs to, I don't know, answer fucking questions or whatever it might be. So for some reason, they invite me, and I go because why not? I don't look at it back. I've never watched it back, but I don't think they edit out hardly anything. I get a lot of comments about people going, "Oh, you didn't get a chance to speak and whatnot." And I don't have any answer. But what you saw is what I said on there. I think maybe if I could be bothered by being more aggressive or trying to be more combative, that maybe I'd have more to say. But I just, you know, I'm fucking 41 years old. Hello, Robbie's 50. So, all right, Rick, you got to go, Rick.
I'll have to wrap it up. Sorry, mate.
All right, I'll just answer the rest of the questions on my own then.
Yeah, all right, just what's the next? There's only one there, mate.
No, there ain't. There's loads. Oh, what's your favourite ever band?
I will say it. It's a difficult one, really. I mean, it's not difficult. I say Oasis because I lived through a time period. It completely changed the way that everyone spoke to each other, the clothes, how everyone acted. And I was in the eye of the storm when that was sweeping across Britain and the world. But as the years go by, I've listened to them less and less, and I listen to Arctic Monkeys far more.
Are they your boys?
They are my boys. So it's difficult to say.
They've got worse and worse, haven't they?
Who, Arctic Monkeys?
Yeah, they've just become sort of shitter and shitter.
Mate, fucking, you're lucky you're on the other side of that screen, mate, I tell you.
Fold up
City in Wiltshire, I tell you.
My answer is Radiohead. Hands down, the best band that's ever come out of the UK.
That's
ever.
Ridiculous.
By a country mile.
That's ridiculous, mate.
No, it ain't.
Right, I'm going to have to go. I will love you and leave you, and right. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Well, is my mum coming round? Is that why you're trying so eager to get off?
Yes, she is. She hates tardiness. Really hates it.
I know.
Right, I'm going to try out the Emerson Royal special on her as well.
All right, good.
Catch you in a bit, mate.
Nice one, Rick. Yeah. All right. We're going to end it there as well. But yeah, just to finish answering the question about the overlap, it's like you're not. I don't want to be someone who's just screaming over some, an Arsenal fan just to get a word in edgeways. If that's the way it is, then it's fine. I think I do purposely go out of my way to antagonise them. And my role in this situation is what can I say that will upset Arsenal fans the most, and then just say that. Like, what that format, they don't really give a shit about what Conte can do at Spurs or any of these things. The best thing about it is this is a platform for me to irritate as many Arsenal fans watching this as possible. So talking about them overspending, and maybe there should be some investigations into their accounting when buying players, then that's what I'm there for. Maybe I should be more pragmatic and respectful of them, and therefore get more time to speak, but it really doesn't matter. But there has been a lot of comments about that, saying, oh, you didn't get a chance to speak. It's like, well the alternative is becoming like, shouting over people, which as a 41-year-old man, I cannot be fucked to do. Okay. This has been the Fighting Cock podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Again, this is a very sort of random, we just answer questions. They're fun to do because you don't have to focus too much on the reality of what Tottenham are at the moment. And what Tottenham are at the moment is, despite the Leicester result, pretty good. We're doing all right. If we beat Chelsea at the weekend, then we can start talking about the top four, and we're in the top four currently. But then things become significant, because our running isn't awful. It's good. There's many games there that we think we should win. On top of that, there's a game against AC Milan in the Champions League in a few weeks' time that we can win. And I think we can go deep into that competition. We can. And we'll have fun with it. Can we win it? It'll be tricky. But we can go deep. If the draws are favourable to Tottenham, then who knows what we can do, and it could be a really fun season. FA Cup as well. FA Cup is another competition we can definitely win here. We've got Manchester United. Who have we got else? Man City, is that? I don't know, whoever it is. There's three clubs basically can win this, and Spurs are one of them. So who knows? Anyway, thanks once again for downloading this. It's a wonderful thing to be able to talk about Spurs over the last 12 years and do a podcast like this. So thanks, everyone. Cheers. Bye.
Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.